Dun 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 dun. Two fat expats. Dun 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 dun. Two fat expats.
Says
hello.
This is the one I've been looking forward to.
Yeah, but I'm nervous.
Oh, you should be, I think, because I
put out a warning that our parents are not allowed to listen.
Okay. Well, my parents can listen, I think.
Because you don't have stories. I'm going to be telling stories.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about expat sex. Mm. And
let's talk about expat sex.
That's what we were going to do. Let's talk about expat sex. Okay, so, and really, I imagine if you were listening to this at home, you'd be thinking, well, what is different about expat sex than at home
regular sex?
But really, it's about how your sex life can be affected in the expat world.
Yeah.
So we would, I guess if we start from here in the Middle East, there is something from the moment you decide you're going to move here, you get the heads up that you're going somewhere that's going to be a little bit different with their attitudes to sex toys, sex
porn movies,
movies, books, whatever. Because when you move to the Middle East, and even in Northern Africa, when we moved to Libya, the same thing happened. So when we were...
I would say there's probably parts of Asia too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like Singapore, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe. If anyone knows, they could perhaps write in and let us know. But what happened to us when we were moving to Libya was we had to fill out an Excel spreadsheet with every CD, DVD, video, book, everything, so that they could check exactly what we were bringing into the country to make sure that we weren't bringing in, A, anything religiously.
Debbie Does Dallas.
Inappropriate religiously.
No, I'm saying and Debbie Does
and
Dallas.
Debbie Does Dallas. So, but I also remember we weren't allowed to bring in any religious statues or anything well. But also anything that was sexually explicit. So the same thing kind of happens here as well, doesn't it? Because you can't be bringing those things
See,
in.
See, Chris, we moved just with our suitcases. We didn't. We bought all of our furniture and everything here.
We didn't have.
We decided we were just going to start from scratch.
Right.
So everything went into storage.
So do you still have storage at home?
Yeah.
Have you checked that storage out lately?
No.
Do you think it's actually got stuff in it you'd want?
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's costing us a fortune.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want any of that furniture. I want my wedding present, so the beautiful crystal vases and things like that. I want that, but everything else can go.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? So the other thing that happens, so that's just when you're moving here with your shipment and whatever, but also when you're flying in here for holiday or you're flying, say you've gone home and you've stocked up on all sorts of goodies and you're flying back... Those things may be
searched. What, things that maybe resemble a bunny rabbit? Yeah. Are you talking about those things?
Well, you have a story about a friend, don't
you? Yes, I had a friend in Abu Dhabi.
And is it a hypothetical friend? Or
no, it's not me. I promise it's not me. So, now Matt said that I have to tell everyone what the rabbit is because he said some people won't know what it is.
That's true. I think if you've watched Sex and the City,
you'll know what it is. So, a rabbit is a certain type of vibrator. And it's got like little bunny ears on it. Anyway, so my friend, when she moved to Abu Dhabi, she had the rabbit in her carry-on.
Right.
And when it went through the security scanner, where everyone is standing there, they spotted the rabbit and pulled it out in front of everyone and confiscated it. She was mortified.
You would be dying.
You would die.
You would be dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no more rabbits for
And
her.
So they knew what it was.
Yes.
Ah, and they just said, no, you'll be having none of that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they probably just went and had some fun in the security room.
You can imagine, did they, like, tap her across the knuckles with it? You naughty, naughty girl. Berate you over the head.
Bad, bad girl. Yeah, so it was confiscated.
Wow.
Yeah, and you can't even order those things online.
No.
So how we have Aramex here, so a lot of things we buy online and we get at Aramex, so a lot of people here have a UK and a US PO box. You can't, for instance, go on to Ann Summers and order something to your Aramex in Doha. It won't make it. FYI.
Yes. On the confiscated note, I have a girlfriend who is a journalist and she does international sort of journalism. I don't want to say the show because I'm going to completely out her, but she travels the world as a journalist and she went to interview Gus Dur back in the days when he was Prime Minister of Indonesia. And as she went through the scanner to go into the palace to interview him, they saw her tampons in her handbag and pulled them out saying, "What is this? What is this?" You know, sure that it was a weapon of some sort. And, so it can be really embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah. So probably would have been worse if she had the rabbit, I guess.
Yeah.
Going to visit Gus Dur.
Might have made for an interesting interview.
Okay, so now, though, I guess what's changed is, you know, when we moved to Libya, it was 2002. And so, you know, all of those reading material and videos are all hard copy in your hand. Whereas this is where the expat world has changed with this sort of material because it is, of course, now all online.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can download certain books on your Kindle.
Yes.
And
the book that you and I differ on. The 50 Shades of
Which
Grey.
Which Sarah is a lover of and I am a complete dislike.
Yeah. But I was, I wasn't going to be able to walk into Virgin Megastore here and buy that book.
No, but someone said it was in Dubai. Someone said it was on the shelves in Dubai.
Okay.
But it definitely wasn't here.
No,
and,
absolutely not.
You know, the flip side of that was you went into any bookstore in Australia at the time and it literally filled the shelves.
Flying off the shelves.
Yeah.
And Matt and I always laughed that when the movie came out earlier this year, that if it was played in Doha, we would just see the opening and closing credits.
That'd be better. And probably a lot of lip biting. Because, of course, movies here
are all cut.
Yeah. And even animated movies. Yeah. There have been movies where the princess is about to kiss the prince. Gone.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, there's no kiss.
The first movie we saw in Abu Dhabi was James Bond. So it was when Daniel Craig had become the new Bond.
Uh-huh.
And Matt and I are huge Bond fans. And we walked out of the cinema and I said to Matt, "Oh, they're making Bond a little bit, you know, strict these days. He didn't have a love interest. There was no sex or anything. There was no love scene." And that's like, yeah, you're right. And then we later found out that that's because movies are cut.
Yeah, and there's so much that you miss to the point that I actually don't go to the movies
here. We actually don't. We'll take Sadie to the cinemas here, but rarely do we see a movie.
Yeah.
Because there are times when the kiss and what have you is actually warranted in a film.
Well, it's part of the plot.
So we download everything. We're iTunes family, so
we're an iTunes family as well. So you can download that material on your Kindle. You can store certain video clips. Mm-hmm. I know with Tumblr now, and this is actually a bit of a worry when you're thinking about teens online.
Yeah,
but with Tumblr, all of those things get through. If it's got a Tumblr before it, you can have Tumblr strap on, blah blah blah, and it will show up.
I've also heard here in Doha that if you Google Translate it into Russian, then put it in Russian into Google, you can access it.
No.
Yes.
Oh.
Matt was at a meeting once and the guys there, they're a bit filthy, told him that, you know, if you want to see something, just Google Translate what you want to see into Russian. Copy and paste that into Google and you can get what you want.
The Tumblr one really, really floored me because I think a lot of people in the Middle East get lulled into this sense of security, a false sense of security with their kids of, everything is sort of all above board here because it's all so strict and it's taboo and whatever. And of course, like all teenagers, they know
they'll
find a way. And if I was a 14-year-old boy or girl, I probably would have found a way as well. But it's that whole thing of, you know, we know if we type in anything that is remotely offhand, a screen will pop up.
Yes, the little cartoon.
Yeah, two little guys going, oops, you're not meant to be here.
Searching things, medical reasons. And I would search, you know, if you put the word vagina in and not for sexual reasons but health
reasons.
Matt,
you know that we're all sitting here wondering what's going on with your vagina now.
It's good. It's okay. It's but when you put those things in, it comes up as blocked.
I know. And saying you were taking your pussy to the vet. You would not be able to find out where.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we were talking about technology and sort of how that has changed with the expat. And so obviously now people can view things online. And,
and I think you need a VPN these days. Everyone talks about having a VPN, which tricks your computer into thinking it's not in Doha, but it might be in the UK or the US.
Yeah.
And then you can watch all the things that you want to watch.
That's right. But
not saying that I watch them, just saying if you're that way inclined, you need a VPN.
Now, Suze, I don't know the full story of where we're going next with this, but I think this is just fabulous, the bit that I do know. But talking about being online and what you can watch and what you can do. So it says you were on your iPad recently, yes?
Yeah, this was a couple of months ago, and this is when I asked Mum and Dad to tune out. So Matt was away on business.
Right.
And I just had one of those moments where I was missing him and I was like a little bit in love with him.
Right. Yeah.
Weird. And I felt that like maybe I would get my sexy on for him.
Yeah.
Now, our house is full of Mac products. We've got the iMac, the iPad, the iPod, the mini, the phone, the whole lot. And our house is like an Apple store.
Yeah. And being on the Mac means you're automatically in the cloud.
Yes. And we have one account, one iTunes account that's attached to everything. So I got my sexy on.
Right. Yeah. And you don't have to go into detail.
No, and I'm not going to.
Right.
No one wants to know about a fat chick getting a sexy on for a husband. Anyway, I sent it to my husband.
Right. Via email or?
Text message. Do his work, Dex. Oh. Do his work. I mean, the whole thing, it's a lesson learned that I am not supposed to be some type of porn star, okay? That's just not going to happen.
Or if you are, make sure you're tech savvy.
Yes. This bloody thing went onto the cloud. It went on every single device, including Sadie's iPod Touch, our iTunes, our Apple TV as a screensaver, plays our pictures that are
on. Oh, my God, our stuff too.
It was everywhere. The thing was everywhere, and I didn't know how to get it off the cloud. Now, before you say, oh, she sounds like Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel on that sex tape, this actually happened before that movie came out.
Yeah.
We actually think that we're the inspiration behind Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel's movie, but that thing went everywhere.
My favourite scene in that movie is when she says, you know, what do you mean it's up in the cloud? And he's like, nobody understands the cloud.
And as a bit of a backstory, everyone knows I've spoken about our problems with infertility and my miscarriages and what have you. I actually had lost my mojo for a few months.
Right.
And it had just disappeared.
Right.
And then when we made the decision that we were having the one child, everything was going to be okay.
Yeah.
It actually came back. So that was actually, I wanted... Yeah, he had missed out on months and months of us being intimate.
Sexy times.
Yeah. You know, 30 seconds on a Thursday night. But he had missed out on, and not that he was complaining or anything, but I just, I completely lost my sexuality.
So you were going to show him it was
back. And I'm actually quieter, and I'm a sexy person with my husband, you know what I mean? He finds me attractive. He, you know, I'm sexy to him, and I completely lost that. So when it came back and he was in another country and it just hit me like, oh, it's back. Right, well, I'd better do something about it. And that, and we had this movie, and I hate porn movies.
Yuck. Yeah.
But the mojo was back, and I felt like I needed to make up for lost time. And so there was a movie, and I couldn't delete it, and it was on Sadie's iPad. Do you know who had to delete it for me? My brother-in-law.
Oh, no.
I had to wait until I got back to Australia because he's very techie, and I was like, Pat, I need to get rid of this video. And he's like, what are you doing with my brother? Okay, I'm deleting it.
If anyone's wondering, those sounds are Sarah pretending to throw it.
It was just horrendous. The whole cloud. I'm never doing it again.
How do you delete it from the cloud, though?
I threw my iPad at Pad and said, get rid of it.
Okay.
So I still don't know how to delete everything from the cloud.
But you're just not going to do it again?
Never.
All right.
Never.
So now nothing
Sorry,
in the cloud.
Matt, never going to happen.
And you're right, because the creepy thing about the cloud, or the scary thing about the cloud, is I know we have on our cloud, our beach house neighbours, we have their holiday snaps that they've obviously shared with us because they wanted to share them with us, and we love them. They're great holiday snaps. But imagine if you shared your iPad with, oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so that's one for new players.
Sorry, Mum and Dad. But you know what Matt said? He's like, well, at least everyone knows we're in a happy marriage and we're having good sex. Better that people know that story than thinking that we're unhappily married.
That's right.
So I guess he's got a point.
That's a very good point, and it's a good story, and thank you for sharing that. Because there are a lot of us that spend a lot of time away from our partners.
Yeah.
And both men and women in various circumstances, because in the expat world, if you have taken an international posting somewhere, quite often that international posting means you're going to do further international travel. Yeah. Maybe you work for a British company, but you're based in Egypt, or maybe you work for an Australian company and you're based in Beijing. Do you know? So there's a lot of back and forth.
And for a lot of parents here, if that parent isn't working, we tend to take our children home for a month or two over summer. So, you know, often the not you're apart for long periods of time.
Yeah. And I've written about this before, in that we do, the beauty of that is we do get an opportunity to miss each other.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, I, the minute Greg's gone, I miss him terribly. And I think it's a fantastic kind of gift in a relationship, because sometimes when you're, I mean, my parents in their entire working relationship, I mean, they got married when they were 18 and they had lunch together every single day and, you know, came home together every single night. And so, you know, it, you are together constantly, whereas in our relationships there's a lot of, you know, travel apart. And even for me, there's a lot, because we're here in the Middle East and there tends to be a bit of a mass exodus over the summer because of the temperature here, and that children, there's not a lot of outdoor stuff that they can do here in the summer because it's just too hot. So people do tend to pack up and go home and do a big catch up with family. But then there's that whole thing of you're away for, you know, sometimes some people are away for 2.5 months from their partner. And when you have distance, you have to have incredible trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I've got girlfriends that do special Skype sessions.
Oh, wow.
With their husband. The time difference doesn't work for Matt and I, and I'm too scared of the Skype cloud. So that's never going to happen. But I've got girlfriends that, to keep the fires burning while they're back home, they have special Skype dates.
Oh, we don't do that. I feel bad that we don't do that.
I don't need to see me doing that, because there's a little picture of you up on the screen.
Yes, that's true.
So, no thanks.
No. But the other thing that's interesting is also going to different countries and you become part of their culture. And I have to say, I found with the whole sex slash marriage slash being in a different culture that Asia was very confronting for me. As, and also I was a young woman then. So we moved to Jakarta when I was 30 and pregnant. And so...
So your moral compass then when you're pregnant is sometimes different from how you feel.
That's a great point. Your moral compass when you're pregnant isn't it? What is that about?
The only time I've been to Thailand was when I was pregnant with Sadie, and honest to goodness, you would have thought I was some tree-hugging
Mother Teresa.
Whereas I actually want to go back to Thailand now as normal Sarah and see how I feel about everything that I saw when I was pregnant.
Yeah, but you do see some shocking stuff.
Absolutely.
And I think Asia can make you lose faith in mankind, as in mankind, not in human beings. And when I say that, I mean that you arrive during the day and everything looks absolutely lovely.
Happy families and beach trips.
Yeah, and so you'll be at the pool or the beach and that's what you see, and then at night everything changes.
Yeah, it's a complete 180, isn't it?
Yeah, and before we get into this whole expats in Asia thing, I want to make something really, really clear, is when we talk about Western men heading to Asia, we're not talking about mixed race marriages,
no,
and we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about men who exploit women in poverty.
Yeah.
And to me, those men are the biggest scum of the earth.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when you live in Asia, you see those men in action all the time. And it'll be the, you know, 56-year-old guy who's in the bar and he's surrounded by young women who have bodies of, you know, 14 and 15 10-year-old yeah, girls.
There's actually something a bit pedophilic about it. It is, isn't it?
And those girls will be nursing their same glass of Coke all mm-hmm. night because, you know, that's they can't afford to buy anything yeah. else. And they really are just incredibly hopeful of a chance for money to support whoever they're supporting. Yeah. And they are being completely exploited.
Absolutely.
And it's incredibly hard to watch. Mm-hmm. And as a pregnant woman, because we were living in a hotel for those first few months we were there mm-hmm. until we found housing and got sorted, I found it incredibly confronting because everything because I was a huge believer that women should be able to sleep with whoever they want to sleep with yeah. and be open and, mm-hmm. You know, live whatever life they wanted to yeah. live. And I had been a young girl who had been to pubs and met blokes and yeah. really lived the life that mm-hmm. I wanted to live.
So but that was your choice.
But that was my choice. Mm-hmm. And so to then, I remember Greg and I went to the movies one night and sitting in front of us, or one afternoon, we went to see American Beauty mm-hmm. and with who was the lead in American Beauty?
Kevin Spacey.
And, you know, at the end there's quite a twist where something, yeah. I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but in front of us was a girl that really looked about 14 mm-hmm. and an Australian guy who mm-hmm. was about 60, 65. And at the end of the movie she kind of turned to him and said, "I don't get it, you know, what mm-hmm. happened?" Very much like what children would say, you know, yeah. like you would imagine a child going, "I don't get it. I don't mm-hmm. understand why that happened." And I remember Greg just his skin just prickling at this man
yeah.
and the man that everyone stood up and he just kind of patted her on the leg as if, you know, "Well, you don't need to get
it
and you don't
it,
need love. To understand." Yeah. And then he said, "Oh, we have to go back to the hotel now. I have to make a phone call." And Greg said out loud, "Yes, to my adult children and my wife in Australia," because it was just like, yeah. what are you
it's really
doing, you creep?
It makes me feel physically ill
yes.
when I see it. And I always wonder, do these men have daughters? Do they have nieces? Do they have family friends that have daughters? And
yeah.
how would they feel if that was
yeah.
their daughter?
And I think the shocking thing, as a woman says, is, you know, when I lived in Jakarta, there were a lot of women that went home to have babies because mm-hmm. it still wasn't, you know, considered an everyday thing in the expat
yeah.
world there. I mean, everybody has their babies in Jakarta now, but what was really disturbing is if you see a friend behave mm-hmm. like that, because you suddenly think, well, how does that work? If you've been out to dinner with a couple and it, from all accounts it looks like they've got a great marriage
yeah.
and then she goes home to have the baby and all of a sudden he's just out every night in those particular bars with those particular women,
yeah.
you kind of know.
It makes me sick. Can't they hold on just for a couple of months?
I don't know.
Like,
I think,
what is it, do you think? Why
I don't
do that?
I thought about it so much when we lived there, because what always amazed me was it was never the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So a group of men go to a pub and be surrounded by young 14, 15 year old girls and are completely almost flattered by it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
She likes me, she's into me,
yeah,
she's whatever.
Yeah.
A group of women were going out on a girls' night and a young guy would stand there and it'd be like, "Oh, come on, you
yeah.
know, I've had two kids, I'm old enough to be your mother, bugger off, sort of thing. But, I mean, the flip side of that is now you look at women coming out of the UK that go to certain countries looking for
mm-hmm.
men. I
yes.
mean, there are stories of women that do that. But what I found on a personal level living in
yeah.
Asia, I didn't ever see that.
See that.
It was always men
the
with,
older man
with
the
younger woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's that whole thing of, you know, we've both been to Thailand and I remember
mm-hmm.
going to Thailand with Greg and Lizzie was a small enough baby that he had her strapped in a baby Bjorn in
yeah.
his front. And we walked down Pak Pong Road
yeah.
while
yeah.
he had this baby and, you know, women still suggested that
yeah.
he might want to come in
yeah.
and see the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just see those guys who are on football trips or
yeah,
buck shows
yeah.
or golfing holidays
yeah,
or whatever.
Golf. And I'm saying golfing with my little air quotes.
And so you would see those guys and see how they behave and then you'd start to question, because if you see enough of it, you go, well, are all men like this when their wives aren't around? Yeah. Do they all do this? And, I was talking to a girlfriend about this yesterday, and she was saying why she says, you know, her husband has never suggested going on one of those holidays, like a boys' holiday to Asia.
Not to suggest.
Well, I think with Greg it's probably a mix of we both play golf.
Yeah.
So
see, that's what Matt, I used to play golf back home. I don't play golf here, but Matt's like, oh, I would just play golf when we go away as a family.
Yes.
Like, and that's if you're always getting a massage, then I'll come back and I'll golf and play golf.
Yeah. And also our holiday time is so constructed down to like each day is, you know, done, because it's the whole, or I'm going to go home with the kids for this stage, and then Greg will say, well, I can squeeze 3 weeks in there, and then if I save up that week, we can go on a family holiday somewhere else.
Yeah.
Do you know, like there just isn't the time in our holidays for him to say, oh, but I'm going to go now and have 5 days wherever. But he just never wants to go on those trips.
Yeah.
The other point, I guess, too, is I think I remember when we went to Sri Lanka the first time, maybe my mum might want to tune out now too, but I think when you're on holiday with your partner and someone else is cooking all the meals, and, I mean, we'll have sex nearly every night.
Oh, yeah, it's holiday sex.
It's holiday sex, and holiday sex is kind of like hotel sex.
Yeah.
You know, like it just happens and it's great.
Well, you know what Matt calls it?
The festival.
The festival.
Yes, and so, you know, why wouldn't you want to go and do that with your partner? Why would you want to do it with some stranger? Unless, but anyway, I'm probably being a little bit judgy, but I'm also interested if there's anyone listening who their partner does go away for the week and they are completely sure that nothing goes on.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear that point of view.
Because this is what we're talking about earlier, wasn't it? I trust Matt 1,000%.
Yes.
But if you said to me, so my favourite thing in the world is a hot cinnamon donut.
Oh, yes,
right? Now, if you took me to another country, having said to me, Sarah, you are not allowed to have a cinnamon donut.
Yes, and I'm only letting you go if you promise not to have a hot cinnamon donut.
And I get to that place and I don't know anyone there.
Yes.
No one knows me.
Yes.
And I've got a hot cinnamon donut dangling in my face.
And you're really, really drunk.
Yeah.
So you've lost all inhibitions.
I'm going to devour that thing.
You might even have two or three.
Probably. In all different types of positions. But that's what I think. I trust Matt so much, but then if he was with a certain group of people that maybe are into it.
Yeah.
I can't. No, I'm not allowing it. Sorry.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's also not a matter of not allowing, because I don't think any woman wants to become someone's mother or keeper or whatever.
But in that case, I will be. I own you when the golf trips come up.
So it's a really interesting one, though, because I'm with you. Because I think when I've had a few drinks, I think I can do all sorts of things. I'm the best singer, I'm the best dancer, and you know, I'm really entertaining.
Yeah. When you're away, you let your inhibitions go because no one knows you.
Yeah, yeah. But I can tell you, I know how I would feel when I woke up the next day, because I cannot imagine doing anything to jeopardize my family. For
me,
it's very much about the kids and wanting the kids to, you know, I want them to have this really happy time. I don't want to go down that road. Yeah. And I just can't imagine how you feel when you wake up the next day.
Mm.
Yeah, it must be pretty tough. But there was an interesting article called What Are Expats Living in Thailand Really Getting Up To with Thai Women?
Mm-hmm. And this was from a website called ThaiLovelines.com.
Yeah.
Your worldwide friends in Thai dating. Like, just ew.
But it was very interesting because it showed all different realities and it gave some really good statistics on just how many expats are living in Thailand now and why they go there and what it's all about. But I thought, you know, once they'd sort of gone through, because the thing was the weather and that it's much, much cheaper.
Yeah, the tax rates are much lower.
Yes, but there
you
was...
You almost feel like you're constantly on holidays, I would think, living in a place like Thailand.
I would think so too. Mm. And also, So there was a huge percentage of single men that were going to do this more than women. And
that some of these men would tell their wives, oh, don't go home. There's nothing really for you here in Thailand. You'll be bored. You know, keep the fires burning back in Australia or the UK or what have you.
But I thought what was really interesting was right at the end they talked to this guy, Anthony, who was 75, and he'd been in Thailand since 1989, I think it was, and he had done the whole lots of girlfriends, lots of partners, lots of different things. He'd actually lost a lot of money because he'd fallen in love a few times and he'd been ripped off and lost a lot of his money. And right at the end it said Anthony admits that he is lonely, that he's thought of selling up and returning to England, but he still thinks things are better for him in Thailand. It's a bit of a joke. I can go out and find some fun even at my age, but it's not quite the same. I'm on the other side of the world living in paradise, but my best friend is my dog.
That's just sad.
I find it incredibly sad. And I also think, well, that's probably what happens to those sort
of
guys.
You become sad old men.
You do become sad old men, and I can't imagine there's a lot of people that have a lot of respect for you.
That's
in
right.
The world.
See, the way that I see it, I think sex is very important in any relationship.
Yep.
But along with the sex, there's that intimacy that's not physical.
Yeah.
And having that person that's your best friend. And that, I think, is what they're missing out on by just chasing these girls and it's just all about sex, is they're actually missing out on that partnership.
But I just don't think, I think
you
maybe
don't think
that,
they care?
No, I think that type of guy doesn't want that sort of relationship because I think, you know, you look at these guys and you go, well, how do you even go out for dinner when, you know, you can't have a proper conversation because she is so much younger than you, but she understands none of your pop culture references and you don't understand any of hers, but also the fact that you can't understand each other.
Yeah.
She speaks a different language.
Language barriers,
and so
age
the
difference.
Only thing you're really doing together is just having
physical sex.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's great stuff for movies and you know, even I listened to a fantastic podcast during the week about a, you know, Australian woman that sort of got her mojo back by going, she found a French African man, you know, and they had two wonderful months together.
Yeah.
But they're on equal footing. Do you know, he wasn't desperately poor and she wasn't rich and providing a hotel room.
Yeah, yeah. They were just two people
that made
a mutual decision.
So I have no problem with having a sexual relationship with someone where it was just this fantastic holiday fling.
Yeah.
But it has to be on equal footing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a whole, I mean,
it's basically prostitution.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And what this man, he said in the article, was that it's so acceptable. Like, sleeping with prostitutes is just completely out in the open and it's regularly discussed, whereas that just wouldn't happen in our little world, would it?
No. And so this is what goes back to what I found so hard dealing with living in Jakarta, is it had become so acceptable that you just heard story after story after story of, you know, the bunch of guys that went to the brothel, and there would be this thing about, oh, you know, if you want clean sheets, it costs this much, and if you want a room on that side, it costs that much. And there were guys that just knew too many details. Like, they really knew how it all worked. And there was, you know, this incredible story of the guy who had brought the girl home and she now lived in the spare room and the wife just sort of turned a blind eye.
What?
Yeah.
They all lived under the roof, same roof together?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Deadly. Yeah.
Oh, yuck.
Uh-huh. So,
oh, I kind of have no sympathy for the wife then.
Well, I mean, we don't know what was going on in her relationship sense. So
we
can't judge. But, but that's what I mean about there was so much of it and you saw it all the time. Like, you just couldn't go. I remember the first time I went to a bar in Indonesia, a girl burnt me with a cigarette because they really didn't want, at that stage, expat women on their turf. And so girls were just coming up.
She deliberately burnt you.
Yeah, and girls were just coming up and sort of standing next to Greg and sort of smiling at him and, you know, hi, how are you? And then just shooting me daggers. Now, if you haven't lived in that world and you've come from somewhere else where you're smiling at everyone because we're all going to be friends and it's all going to be great, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, hang on, You know, and then we just ended up, we just didn't go to bars. Yeah. And it would, I know it would be completely different now if we went to Jakarta because it's changed again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that was my first experience of Asia and, and what that life
was. Yes, I remember going to Thailand and we were in Phuket, but we stayed in a smaller village just to be away from all of the smut and the sleaze. Yeah. So we're in this small area, and as we were walking down to the beach to have dinner, there was a row of bars with that typical older, fat Australian American man with just young women dripping off them.
Yeah.
And I remember just standing there next to Matt, and you could tell that we were a partnership, and these women and the men were just like trying to lull him in and to get rid of me. And I remember yelling at them, do you not see me standing here?
Yes.
I'm his wife.
Yes.
And the girls just cackled and thought it was the most hilarious thing that they'd ever done, and that really riled me up.
Yeah.
And then I remember the man, he was Australian, said, oh, get over it, love.
Yeah. And I remember that feeling. That's exactly how
they
it feels.
They were laughing at me.
Yes. And you
don't
do
laugh at me.
And I remember feeling like I was the fattest, whitest person on the planet.
Yes. That I had no sexual attractiveness about me. Because they are beautiful women.
Yeah.
With amazing bodies, and they're wearing hardly anything.
Yeah.
And you do. Yeah, they laughed at me and I felt awful.
Yeah. But I think, you know, you can all, everyone knows with perspective and stepping back that them laughing is just the situation that they're in. Do you know, to those guys, it looks like, well, look at you with your nice life and you don't have to come to this bar every bloody night.
Yeah.
So you can totally excuse it. But when you're in the situation, it's very hard not to take it personally.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So the one last thing I wanted to talk about with the whole sex pat conversation is one that happened to a friend. And I just wondered how many people there are out there like this. So a couple of friends make new expat friends. They're on like their second or third meal together, and during the dinner the conversation was had, hi guys, look, you know, I hope you don't mind us asking, but we kind of need someone. We're just worried if anything was ever to happen to us, we want someone to come to the house and get rid of, you know, the box before the police arrive or our parents get here or our children start to go
through. What was in the box?
That's right. And the friends were like, I'm sorry, you know, the box. And they said, you know, with all of our toys and our you know, aids and equipment. And the friends were alarmed and engaging and sort of said, yes, of course we will come and take the box. That will be our job. We'll get the box. But it then raised the question because they didn't have a box.
Ah.
And so they then said to G and I, do you have a box? And the answer was no, G and I don't have a box. Like there is nothing, there is nothing to hide. But is that every expat worry who has a box of is something going to happen and who's going to find the box? Do you care if people find the box?
We don't necessarily have a box. We have a drawer.
Right.
And again, this is me getting my mojo back and getting back to how I used to be when I was younger.
Yes.
I have a very, very close friend back in Australia who I would talk to about that I'd lost my mojo.
Yes.
And so when we went back home over the summer break, she took me shopping.
Right.
And she's like, I'm getting your mojo back and Matt is going to love me for the rest of, and he does. She's his favourite person. So we have a drawer, if you will. Oh, my God, I hope my mum's just tuned out. So, yeah, we have a drawer.
Yeah.
We had to smuggle those things back into Doha.
And how do you...
We were dripping with sweat as if we had 9 kilograms of heroin strapped to our stomachs. We were dripping. And we had it in the carry-on because we thought we'd rather just get it confiscated right then and there than have them ripping open our suitcases and perhaps me losing, you know, my favourite pair of shoes or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, well, they can take that, but if they went through my big suitcase...
Oh, my God, Sarah, that sentence says everything about you. I mean, they can take the dildo, but not my favourite
pair
of shoes.
Not my favourite pair of shoes. But it was... There's things that you can buy now that don't resemble...
Oh.
Certain parts of the anatomy.
So your thing in your drawer
does not resemble.
Are you willing to share what it looks like?
We call it Casper the Friendly Ghost. And it's this little white thing, like with a little, like a circle thing, and then it's got a, it kind of looks like a little goat. It looks like Casper.
So if someone saw it, it would actually look like
maybe a neck mask. It actually looks like a mouse for a computer.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it kind of looks like an oddly shaped mouse for a computer.
Right.
And it has a USB attached to it for charging.
Oh my God.
It's a Japanese design. And you can get things that look like a lipstick.
Right. So now you don't have to arrive with
Big. It's very...
I remember the R-rated store that we used to walk past all the time from one nightclub to the other had the Plumber's Delight.
Oh my God.
It was enormous.
Huge. They still have all of those things, right. By the way, that you just get really nervous giggles when you walk into those stores.
But you don't have to go through with the Plumber's Delight and you carry on.
No. You all that big, black, massive penis that you think's going to, you know, you could whack people over the head with it. Yeah, you don't need to have that anymore.
No.
There's very chic, very fashionable looking things.
Okay, good.
And ladies, I'll just let you know, it'll get your mojo back.
There's so many questions I want to ask you, but I'm not going to because it's not fair. But there's so many things I want to know. Okay, so, Cez, shall we? I think we've covered.
I'm dripping in sweat. I'm just so embarrassed by this whole thing. Oh, well.
I wanted to give the flip side of this.
Yeah.
That it's not always the women. So I heard a recent story about, and I'm going to keep this as anonymous as I can. So I'm not going to say the country or when or where or how. So there was a story of in Asia of the woman who went for the massage, and it was a lovely older gentleman who looked sort of very traditional, and he said he did traditional massage set up from his house. And she went to the house, and his wife was there. There were kids sort of around, and he had a room. And she went into the room, and halfway through the massage, he started to get like a little bit too close for comfort. And she was thinking, oh, this is a bit weird. Like, at what point do I say a little bit close there?
Yeah.
And then he leant over and said, madam, would you like a mouth massage?
Oh my God.
And so it's not always the men that are in this. Yeah. And, I mean, I definitely had that in Jakarta. Yeah. I remember getting
asked. Do you know
asked,
what she did? Did she just squeal and run away?
No, because she went back again the next year. But she just said, no, thank you very much, and that was that. And I had the same thing in Jakarta. I was asked, I was kind of getting that vibe. You know, you can get that vibe in a massage where you just think, oh, no, that's just a little bit too close. And then the woman said, would you like an executive massage?
Oh, so it was a female masseuse.
Yeah. And I said, oh, no, thank you. And, you know, on we went. So it says you had something on Instagram.
Yeah. Now, there's a lady that I follow. She lives in the Southern Highlands of New South Wales, Australia, which is where my parents live.
Oh, yes.
Remember with the time that I called people from Barrel rich and white? Anyway.
And what was it? They were, were they all
rich, white, and gay?
Rich, right. That's right. Rich, white, and gay. That was good.
Anyway, so her Instagram is called @MrsBMunro.
Oh, I know who you mean.
Yeah, so she's really good friends with Baby Mac.
Yes.
One of our favourite bloggers.
Yes.
And she's an amazing artist that creates these wonderful woven works
I've
of
seen
art
her stuff.
Using things from nature.
I didn't think to go to her Instagram.
Yeah, it's really lovely. She's got she's got a Facebook page, and she's got her Instagram page, and it's really beautiful.
She's very clever.
And it just reminds me of home, and it reminds me of where my parents live.
Does she do that with her husband?
Yes.
Do they both do it?
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
Okay, so what was it again? It was
at Mrs. B. Munro, but I'll put the link up on our website.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you can buy her stuff?
You can, yeah. So she's got a Facebook page, which I'll also put the link up to. And I think she blogs as well. Well, they've got like a website that sell their stuff,
Okay.
Yeah.
And going through podcasts this week, I am totally into, and I've been telling everyone this for the last few days, is Mia Friedman from Mamma Mia now has a website called Debrief Daily, which I'm going to be writing on now and then.
Fantastic.
And but they have a podcast. And
I didn't know that.
Their podcast, I predict, is going to become one of the biggest things in podcasting for women in Australia, I reckon.
Okay.
Because they have Sarah McDonald, and I don't know if you can remember Sarah McDonald. She was... in the early days, because she's probably about the same age as me, and she was on Triple J years ago, and then she went to India with her partner, and she wrote a book called Holy Cow, and it was about her experience of being in India. So there's an expat sort of twist there.
Yeah.
And then she came back and she worked on the ABC for a long time, and she wrote for several different newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
But because of her radio experience, this podcast sounds really professional because I think it's got her kind of producing.
She's standing under the stairs?
I don't think she's standing under the stairs in her house like we are right now.
Good on you, Sarah.
But what I love about the podcast, she does it with another girl called Rebecca Huntley, or another woman, I should say, called Rebecca Huntley. What I love about it is it's very much to my age group, because you're a bit younger than me, so you're late 30s, whereas I'm 46. So there's a lot of stuff that really rocks my world in that they talk a lot about reinventing your career.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday's was about your libido at this age and, you know, what to do about your libido. They talk about anxiety. They talk about kids. They talk about all sorts of things that really apply to women sort of, I would say, late 30s, 40s and above.
All right.
And they are smart and funny, and it's really well done. Like it sounds really tight and schmick. So their podcast is called Just Between Us.
Oh, I like that title.
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it is really, I like it. Mm-hmm. So whereas I would say... there's another podcast that the Mamma Mia Network do. I think it's Mamma Mia Out Loud or something.
Yeah.
That, to me, feels a lot younger.
Right.
And it's great, but it's not, to me, it's like reading the Mamma Mia website. You know, like it's lots of just
grabs of
different stories and opinion, whereas I find that Debrief Daily and these women, I feel like it's more of a conversation. So I have a request. I have a couple of requests. So one is doing the podcast, to promote the podcast and get the podcast out there is really, really difficult. Mm-hmm. It's very different than if we're on the blog because we know what to do on the blog.
Yeah.
So please can I ask you that if you have enjoyed the podcast or you think that someone else would enjoy the podcast, please share it and tell your friends. But also can you leave us a review?
Because head
on over to iTunes and look for Two Fat Expats and you'll see that there's a button you can click for rate and review.
Yes.
And because that's the only way that we kind of keep in the new and noteworthy
or
that
and
we
then
get,
move on to the charts. Yeah.
Otherwise we just disappear into non-existence.
Yes, into the podcast cloud.
Yes. So please if you could do that. Yeah. And also Two Fat Expats is going to be looking for a sponsor soon. So if in your expat world...
maybe not for the episode we've just recorded.
But in your expat world, if you have a business or you know of a business that you think that this demographic, our demographic is wide and far, I think we've had something like at time of recording, we'd had over 14,000 downloads of Two Fat Expats. Uh-huh. So if you want to get in early because we climb every week, we get a bit bigger. Two Fat Expats getting bigger and bigger. Two obese expats. So if you have any ideas, please get in contact.
And also we've been getting a lot of emails lately on our Facebook page just with like lovely thank you notes. And it's just really, we know that we're doing the right thing, don't we?
It's been a big week this week for, I guess me especially, with people being very lovely online about being supportive, because there are people online that are not so lovely always and feel the need to tell you. But, yeah, we've had some great messages, haven't we, Sarah, on Two Fat Expats.
Would you call call it fan mail?
Oh, no, just support, I'd say.
Support, okay. Yeah. Right, so we're not at fan mail status just yet. But they're just really, really lovely messages, and it makes us feel happy.
It makes coming and standing under the stairs
sweating
in front of
sweating like there's no tomorrow, talking about your sex life, it makes it all worthwhile.
Okay, guys, thank you very much, and we'll see you next
week.
See you next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. I'm too sexy for your party, too sexy for your party, the way I'm disco dancing. I'm a model, you know. My little turn on the catwalk, yeah, on the catwalk, on the catwalk, yeah, I do my little turn on the catwalk. Sexy by far, and I'm too sexy for my hat, too sexy for my hat, what you think about that? I'm a model, you know what I mean, and I do my little turn on the catwalk, yeah, on the catwalk, on the catwalk, yeah, I shake my little tush on the catwalk. Song.